Welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and creative entrepreneur, bringing you interviews, inspiration, and information on writing, publishing options, and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free author blueprint, and lots more information at thecreativepen.com. And that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hello, creatives. I'm Joanna Penn, and this is episode number 743 of the podcast. And it is Saturday, the 23rd of March, 2024, as I record this. In today's show, I have an interview with Matthew J. Holmes about his tips for selling direct and marketing using meta ads. Now, Matt has been running my ads for around 6 months now, and he also leans heavily on AI for his marketing processes. Now, remember, even if you don't want to use AI tools for writing or creativity, you may still want to use it for marketing, so these tips might be useful. If you're a patron, there's a behind-the-scenes video demo with Matt that will go live after this episode airs at patreon.com/thecreativepen. For more interviews and resources on selling direct, you can find that at thecreativepen.com/sell-direct-resources. Links in the show notes as ever. So that's coming up in the interview section. In publishing industry news. Well, today's show is about selling direct online, which is certainly the way I prefer as an introvert. But another form of selling direct is selling in person, which suits some people very well. You can go to events, you can clear a lot of stock, you can make lots of money if you do it well, and you can connect with fans, you can make friends with other authors and creators. I often feel a little bit jealous of people who love doing these kind of regular conventions and book fairs and all of this kind of thing. It's certainly a way to double down on being human if it's something you can sustain. So interestingly, the BookBub blog, which of course is about online sales, has a great article on how to sell more books at live events. It includes ideas on setting up your booth with all the artwork, the kinds of events you might consider, costs for stalls and merchandise, pricing for what you might sell, and how to maximize sales. It's a really good article. So if you are considering selling in person, check that out on the BookBub blog. Related to live events, Orna Ross reflects on two she attended. The Future of Publishing Mastermind in New Orleans, run by Monica Lionel and Russell Nolte, and also London Book Fair, which I was at too. Two very different events, and Orna's written a post about this. She said, both events are focused on selling books and building sustainable businesses, but there the comparison ends. The London Book Fair draws in participants from every corner of the globe, covers all aspects of the publishing industry, from print to digital, content creation to distribution and beyond. The event emphasises business, with deals signed and publicised. Authors can feel quite lost and overwhelmed in this environment that is built on their work, but seems to find little place for them or their needs, because the London Book Fair is mainly for the publishing industry. By contrast, the New Orleans event emphasised how personal growth and business growth are allied for authors. Monica and Russell, with their deep roots in authorship and publishing, both embody a passion for nurturing a supportive environment for others. They champion a tailored approach to combat the high burnout rates among authors by fostering a community where authors can learn, grow, and thrive together, very similar to the ethos that drives the Alliance of Independent Authors. Where both events came together was in how they both centred discussions around the integration of AI and other disruptive technologies. The Future of Publishing Mastermind addressed how authors can leverage AI for marketing, direct sales, and building reader communities. The London Book Fair, with its wider lens, showcased how AI is transforming every aspect of the publishing chain, from content creation, slush pile reading, developmental and copy editing, to what they call consumer engagement and what we call reaching readers. While there are concerns about AI, particularly around its use in generating content and the implications for creativity and copyright, the Alliance of Independent Authors encourages authors to recognise AI as a tool rather than a threat, offering opportunities to enhance creativity, streamline processes, and connect with readers in new and meaningful ways. Indie authors, known for adaptability and innovation, are well positioned to leverage AI to their advantage. So we had a panel at London Book Fair called The Rise and Rise of the Indie Author, and we talked about technology and how we've used it for the last 15 years and how we're all intending to use it going forward. We do tackle AI and direct sales. That is Orna Ross, Michael LaRon, and me. I was the chair and also did a little bit of talking too. We explored this topic and I didn't realise, but it was recorded. Now, it's a video in a huge venue, so even though we're wearing microphones, the sound is not amazing. But if you want to see the video, you can watch that. It's on YouTube. I'll link to it in the show notes, and also it's embedded in Orna's article, so I'll link to that in the notes. Also, if you want a glimpse into what happened at the Future of Publishing, Russell and Monica released a long episode on their podcast, Kickstart Your Book Sales, going through five trends we learned at the Future of Publishing Mastermind. And they've also talked about what the conference will look like next year in 2025. So that's Kickstart Your Book Sales podcast. You can find that on your same app. You're listening to this. And then I guess if you're thinking, okay, I missed those, but you might still consider Author Nation, which is a very big conference. But I think what is going to happen, or my experience last year, and I think what Joe Solari is intending, is that there are these tracks and various things that you will go to. So it's very unlikely that I'm going to be sitting in the same sessions as someone who's a new author who's never published a book. But what they're intending is that there will be these different tracks. So depending on where you are in your author life, if you've never written a book before, there's a track for you. If you're someone who's kind of, you know, mid-list, or you want to get into these different forms of sales, there'll be something for you. But he is on the Wish I'd Known Then podcast with Jamie Albright and Sarah Rosette. So that's Wish I'd Known Then podcast. And they talk about author business, financial freedom, direct sales, why you need to decide what you really want, and more about Author Nation. So I have my ticket. I have my hotel room booked. So maybe I will see you there. That is in November. So in terms of publishing, another very interesting thing happened this week. I received an email from Amazon, and this is something I've heard from others they have received as well, non-fiction authors. We're contacting you regarding the following books that you submitted for sale on Amazon. They then list all my non-fiction workbooks, all of them. So there's seven. There's quite a lot anyway. So this email was like listing them all. It appears your book is a companion guide. Per our content guidelines, we don't allow content that is disappointing to customers. And we've found that companion guides frequently cause a negative or confusing experience for customers. As a result, we won't be making your book available on Amazon. So yes, Amazon just delisted a load of my books. And I got this email and it just made me laugh. And if this has happened like 18 months ago or 2 years ago, I guess, before I built creativepenbooks.com, I would have been really unhappy. And there are a whole load of very unhappy people who are appealing this. Some of them, I presume, will get their books back up if they change the title. So mine do say companion workbooks because, surprise, they are companion workbooks. So, for example, if you buy How to Write a Novel, then there are questions at the end of every chapter, and the companion workbook has the questions and then space for you to write the answers. Now, so I know why they're doing this, because I have been targeted, well, I've seen ads by people advertising low content books on Facebook ads and Instagram and other places. But I've also seen people advertising courses on how to create low content books. And this is what these are. These are low content. And that means there are questions, or it's a journal, or all of this kind of thing. They are very, very easy to create, obviously, because you don't need much content in there. And people are using AI. So, for example, what you could very easily do with AI is put in a whole load of information and say, create 10 questions around this, and it would do that. And then you could just chuck it in a companion guide. So what I think is happening is they're having such a massive number of these low content things uploaded. And it's a case of their massive sledgehammer algorithm change. And it's taking out a whole load of authors who have real journals or real workbooks that actually relate to their own work. Even though I do have these low content workbooks, I don't put myself in the same category as someone who only creates low content books. And again, I personally don't have any problem with low content books. For example, I buy a lot of Luke Term and Moleskine notebooks, which are empty. You could say they're no content journals. And so I don't have any issue with it. It's just that I think this is what's happening. I really believe that Amazon should incorporate some kind of charge to publish, even if it's just 1 cent. What that would do is a stop mass upload of hundreds and hundreds, thousands of different variations of these things. And in fact, Alex Smith from BookVault mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, when Alex was on, and he said they instituted a charge on uploading books to BookVault because of this very reason, because people were uploading, you know, 20,000 variations of cat journal with lots of different pictures of cats on the cover. And they were like, no, we're not going to do that. So I think that's what it is. If you've received this email, then of course you should appeal. If you are doing, if they're really your books, you will probably have to change the title and you'll probably have to change the covers. So I'm just not bothering. I actually feel like, oh, this really proves the point. It proves the point that this is not in your control. And if someone can delist books by deciding these are not books that should be sold, then it makes me very glad I built my store, creativepenbooks.com, and of course my fiction and memoir is at jfpenbooks.com. And I can legitimately say now, if you want my workbooks, come on over to the store, because I have spiral bound editions. Also, Ingram Spark hasn't shut this down yet, so you can still get my companion workbooks from Barnes & Noble or other stores that go through Ingram Spark. You can also request them at your bookstore. You can get them through the library, all of that kind of thing. So yeah, this is about control. But if you do get that email, then and they do fit with your work, then do appeal. I'm not saying you shouldn't appeal. I'm just saying I'm not appealing. I'm just going to direct more people to my store. And what I sell on creativepenbooks.com is bundles. So I bundle, for example, How to Write a Novel with the How to Write a Novel workbook, as well as all the other workbooks I've got there. And that does pretty well for me. But I guess the overarching question to think about is, if you want to be an author who runs your own business, and I know not everyone wants to do that, but if you do want to be running your own business, you do want to be in control, then just do a bit of a list of all of the people who control access to your work and consider what would happen if you received an email like this from them. And then put a plan in place to make sure you're not 100% reliant on that situation. So in AI news, I really wanted to talk about this because I'm very excited about the possibilities of digital twins. So basically, when you build an exact copy of something or someone within these digital twin engines, like a certain aeroplane for maintenance or a human being with all of their data, then you can model various scenarios on that digital twin to see the potential impacts without having to test it on the person or the aeroplane or whatever you are doing. Now, this has huge implications for personalized medicine. And I do read a lot about the impact of AI in healthcare. Jonathan works in the pharmaceutical industry, so I am super interested in the way that AI is impacting healthcare. But I did a while back mention this in the context of solving climate change, and NVIDIA have just released their Earth 2 digital twin. So this is a model of the Earth for climate and weather simulations. It is a development platform for climate science. And I know this isn't about publishing, but the reason I wanted to mention it is because there are so many positive, amazing AI-related breakthroughs every single day. And the AI revolution is not about publishing and writing. Like, of course, this is our industry, so that's what we're obsessed about. But there are far more important things going on, and we need to lift our head up and lift our eyes to the horizon of what could possibly be. And of course, not everything is going to be amazing. But let's face it, humans are not doing a great job right now. We need help. And a lot of what these companies are doing is going to really help us. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If AI systems can save the planet, cure diseases, eradicate poverty, then sure, take my job. No worries at all. So if you start to obsess about the negative side of AI, please consider the positive side and the problems we could potentially solve with more intelligence. Go looking for evidence of abundance as opposed to negativity. One of the podcasts I like is called Moonshots and Mindsets with Peter Diamandis. So that might be a good place to start if you want to put that on your listening queue. If you're interested in what might be coming this year, Sam Altman talks about the possibility of GPT-5 or some other model coming this year on the Lex Fridman podcast, which is a little bit tech bro, but I still enjoy listening to what Sam says and also what he doesn't say. It's always interesting to try and read between the lines, but he does talk about artists and compensation. Around minute 47 in the interview, he says, humans are going to do cool shit and society's going to find some way to reward it. That seems pretty hardwired. We want to create. We want to be useful. We want to like to achieve status in whatever way. That's not going anywhere. I don't think we've seen the last evolution of how the economic system's going to work. Artists were super worried when photography came out, and then photography became a new art form and people made a lot of money taking pictures. I think things like that will keep happening. People will use the new tools in new ways. The way I think about it is not what percent of jobs AI will do, but what percent of tasks will AI do and over what time horizon. He did say we will release an amazing model this year, and he suggested a similar leap to whatever the next one is, maybe 5, as it was to 4. And that to me was stunning. One of my aha moments was trying GPT-4 for the first time, and then also recently trying Claude 3, which has also given me a bit of a wow moment of realizing how good these tools are. So if you haven't tried or started using these tools yet, or if you've dipped your toe in but you're still not confident, I'm doing another webinar with Joseph Michael. We did one in December, which had several thousand people on, and we had a really good time. You know that I don't do webinars very often, but when I do enjoy them. So we are doing this on Thursday, the 4th of April. At 3 p.m. US Eastern, 8 p.m. UK. If you register, you will get the replay. It's at thecreativepen.com/April4. So April 4, links in the show notes. I'll talk first about how I'm using AI, a bit of an overview, and then Joe will demo lots of ways of using prompts. And the attendees from the last webinar really enjoyed the session and found it useful on its own. It is a free webinar. Joe does have a course on how to use AI tools, but you don't need to buy it. You can just join us for the free webinar. Come along, join us live, or register to get the replay at thecreativepen.com/April4. I also wanted to mention this email from M, who says, I am a skeptic about AI, but that's one of the reasons I enjoy your podcast. I want to be challenged, especially about inevitable technologies, and your consistent optimism about the future reminds me that if we're going to get the bad parts of change, we might as well find the good parts as well. Based on your recent discussion about Claude, I decided to give it a go, and was honestly shocked that it solved a business problem for me the first day I used it. Em goes on to describe how she essentially analysed her backlist of quite a lot of books and created a template to upload to Shopify so that she used their bulk upload template and got Claude to populate it with all her book data. And I was like, oh my goodness, I really wish I had that, because I spent a couple of months populating my Shopify store and got serious RSI as well. So this is a really amazing use case. M says, I think a lot of writers will be excited to hear that AI is already capable of automating some of the administrivia, I like that word, we hate the most. So she has shared all the prompts, and I will link to that in the show notes. And you don't have to agree with me on this stuff. And I don't mind you disagreeing with me. I just want you to try it. Try using AI tools for things that you really don't want to do and see how it goes. So in personal news, I am still deep in my first draft of Spear of Destiny, but I will finish the final scenes, the climax of the book, which I do know what is going to happen now. Yay! I have also first pass edited, I guess, around 60%, which is how I worked out what would happen in the rest of the book. This is classic discovery writer behaviour. And I do feel like a lot of my best writing work is done in the first edit. So I am keen to get into that. I will be getting into that this week. Also, I have mentioned before and will again, the Kickstarter pre-launch page is at jfpenn.com/destiny. What I have done with this is I'm doing a Kickstarter only cover. So I guess this is another tip for direct sales. If you're doing a launch, a special launch like a Kickstarter, then anything exclusive is going to get people more interested. So the book, it's not just a special foiling or anything, although there is foiling, it's a Kickstarter only cover. So this will not be sold again, even on my store. So this is the windowing strategy, but even more so in that the cover that's on jfpenn.com/destiny, that is only for the Kickstarter. And then I've got another cover designed, which fits with my brand cover that I normally do for the Arcane series. So Jane Dixon Smith, JD Smith Design, has done two covers. I've decided I'm going to have a level in the Kickstarter for writers, and I'm going to do essentially a 2-hour webinar on my process for discovery writing and go through all of that. And also how I used Claude and ChatGPT as creative partners in the process. So that will be included at a kind of author companion, I use the word companion, the author level of the Kickstarter. So that is at jfpenn.com/destiny. Also this week, if you want to hear me interviewed, I was on the Comedy Masterclass podcast talking about writing from the shadow. And of course, you will know that if you're a comedy writer, a lot of comedy is from the darker side of our human condition. So I really enjoyed talking about that with Danielle. That's the Comedy Masterclass podcast. So thanks for your emails and comments and photos this week. Kirsten sent a selfie walking in the woods at Leeuwarden Friesland in the Netherlands. She says, there are no rules. Best line of the show. I love it. Exactly the reason I am an indie writer. Max said, hi from Australia. Here's a photo I took while walking my dogs and hanging out with the cows. We are all listening to you and Becca Syme, so thanks for all you do. Oh no, that's great. Love Australia. And Laura Morelli said on Claire's interview on the Enneagram, oh goodness, it seems I'm an Uber 5. Know-it-alls unite. Lots of comments this week. Andrew sent lots of pictures from listening across different seasons, and I particularly enjoyed the beautiful autumnal woods. And finally, Kirsten again, or a different Kirsten, said to about Becca's show, this was one of the best episodes ever. I had my finger at the 15 seconds back button to listen again and again. Now I'm reading the transcript. Thank you so much for this and your time. So yes, remember, you can always find the transcript of the interview. I don't do a transcript of the introduction, although I have all the links in the show notes. You can always find them. The latest show is at the creativepen.com/blog, but all the episodes are linked at thecreativepen.com/podcast. And remember, you can leave a comment on the podcast show notes at thecreativepen.com or on the YouTube channel, or email me, send me pictures of where you're listening, joanna@thecreativepen.com. I love to hear from you. It makes this more of a conversation. And also, I have delved back into X. I'm treating it as a new social media platform and trying not to compare it with Twitter as it used to be. I'm trying to use it as a new platform, and I will report back once I get used to that. But if you are on X, you can X me, message me on X @thecreativepen with a double N. So this episode is sponsored by Pro Writing Aid, because however you choose to publish, whether you go direct to readers or you go indie or you want a traditional deal, you need to make your book the best it can be. Pro Writing Aid is one of my absolute must-use tools in my writing process, and indeed, I'm about to use it this week again for Spear of Destiny. So what I do is I write in Scrivener, so I have my project done. I open Pro Writing Aid on my computer, open Scrivener within that, and then I work through each chapter, which is more manageable than a whole document. It suggests improvements, and I don't accept all the changes, of course, but it helps me find problems and things to rewrite as I go. Of course, it integrates with Word and other writing software as well. So Pro Writing Aid knows all the rules of editing and helps you apply them. And of course, it helps also with making your writing more active, finding repeated words, finding words you could improve, sentence structure, grammar, punctuation, typos, spacing, and more. So why use software to help you? Why don't you just learn all the grammar and writing rules and apply them yourself? Well, we all use tools to improve our process, and we are also often blind to our own writing issues. It helps to have another pair of eyes, even if the eyes are software. So won't an editor do all this for you? Well, yes, they can. But I'd rather pay my human editor to fix the things the software can't. And indeed, I won't even send my finished book to my editor, Kristen, until that is done. So I will go through Pro Writing Aid first. But as brilliant as Pro Writing Aid is, it cannot read the manuscript as a whole or comment on bigger issues like character development or inconsistencies or plot holes or structure and flow for nonfiction. So I use Pro Writing Aid as my essential editing tool before sending to my human editor. You can check out the free edition or get 25% off the premium edition by using my link, prowritingaid.com/Joanna, J-O-A-N-N-A. That's prowritingaid.com/Joanna. As ever, this type of corporate sponsorship pays for the hosting, transcription and editing, but my time in creating the show is sponsored by my community at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Thanks to the 11 new patrons who've joined since last week, and thanks to everyone who's been supporting for months and years. You are amazing. This week I did do the Q&A for patrons. It was about an hour, an extra show, an hour of that. But after this show goes out, I will be sharing a video demo with Matt, where we go through the process for ads, and we look at my ads dashboard, yes, my actual data, and we also do a quick round with Claude and Midjourney. If you join the community, you get that and all the backlist videos and audio, as well as access to the monthly Q&A. The Patreon is a monthly subscription, the equivalent of buying me a black coffee a month or a couple of coffees if you're feeling generous. So if you get value from the show and you want more, come on over and join more than 1,000 authors. Join us at patreon.com, patreon.com/thecreativepen. Right, let's get into the interview. Matthew J. Holmes is a book marketing and direct sales specialist and the business partner of fantasy author Laurie Holmes. Matt has a great newsletter and courses for authors around Facebook ads and direct sales. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hi, Jo. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, no, I'm excited to talk to you. But first up, just tell us a bit more about you and how you got into the self-publishing and book marketing space.
Yeah, sure. So it's actually, Joe, it's probably your fault, really, because we actually found you, I think it's about 2016, 2018, somewhere around there. And Laurie, who, as you said, is an author, we had a publishing deal with a publisher that fell through. And then we were deciding, should we go and find another publisher or should we try this self-publishing thing we thought about? And we did lots of Googling and came across your blog and your podcast and your YouTube videos. And it was through that that we decided, okay, let's try the self-publishing route. So that's the route we went because of all the content you were putting out. And so it's funny to really come full circle and be on your podcast now. But yeah, so that sort of started off really was the self-publishing thing. And with Laurie's book, which she originally launched it in 2020, but that was after a rebrand before with the publishers, and she expanded that first book. And yeah, we launched in April 2020. And that is about the time when COVID hit. And up and from about 2010 to up to COVID, I ran a video production company. Before that, I worked at the BBC. And when COVID hit, my video production company just went, well, it just crashed and burned. Because we obviously couldn't go out and film people. I couldn't be around people. So it was all very, you know, had to be in bubbles and all that kind of thing. So all that whole business just disappeared overnight, pretty much. And we had our first twin boys coming about 2 months later. And we suddenly find ourselves in this position where we have no income apart from the government furlough, which, you know, that saw us through the first few months of COVID, really. So I sort of had a lot of time on my hands, and I like to keep busy, so I don't like to do nothing. So I launched myself into learning Facebook ads to advertise Laurie's books. And that's really how I got started with it all. It was just, I found I really enjoyed the Facebook ads dashboard and creating ads and all that kind of stuff and all the geeky stuff around ads. And I just launched myself into advertising Laurie's books. Although it was just book one to begin with in April, and then book two came out May, so a month later, because it was already written. And then we launched like a side novel, which again was already written in, I think it was June or July of that year, 2020. And then since then, Laurie's launched one book a year. So she's got a total now of 6 books published. And it's just been one book a year, really. So that's her cadence. She's a very, very slow writer, but that's just the way she works. And it works for her. And yeah, so over time, we've just gradually increased the budgets, and we've obviously increased the earnings as well, up until to about $17,000, $18,000 a month in royalties, with about 2x return on spend, sometimes 2.5, something like that. So we're spending sort of $7,000 to $8,000 a month on Facebook ads. And then back in 2023, we started dabbling a bit in the direct sales side of things. And then we eventually pulled Laurie's books out of KU in about October of 2023. And then went all in on the direct sales. But we are still, even now, we are still selling on Amazon, and we're doing pretty well on Amazon. We just, most of our budget now is going into the direct sales.
Oh, no, I love this. So there's a few things. One, Laurie is not a slow writer. She is a normal writer writing one book a year.
True.
People have to remember this, like the indie author rapid release thing. That is not normal. Also, she writes pretty hefty books, doesn't she? Like they're fantasy books, right? They're quite long. What's the word count on her books?
They're about, the first one's about 80,000, and the longest, then the other ones are up to about 150,000, something like that, sort of between 120, 150. But there's a lot of sort of background research that goes into them.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to point out that, so Laurie has 6 books. They are good size books, but I think this is so important because so many people think you can only be successful if you have like, well, the 20 books to 50K is the kind of the model that has been talked about. But of course you don't. Yeah, you don't need to have that many books. That model, I think, is the old kind of KU model. But what I love and why you're here is because you teach the newer model of using direct sales, but also using meta ads, which we're going to come to. And thanks for sharing the numbers, by the way. I think that's very generous of you to actually say numbers. But Laurie's books were in KU and you pulled them out towards the end of last year, as you mentioned. Now, for people listening, KU is just for ebooks. You were just doing print on the direct sales. Tell us, how does the mindset have to shift between KU and selling direct?
Yeah, it's quite a big shift. It took us a while to work on, really. And I guess some days we still are when we have a bit of a slowdown in the store. But it's really, with direct sales, you are responsible for every single sale that comes in, whether that's through ads, whether that's through email marketing, whether that's through any organic social media. You're responsible for all of it. Whereas with Amazon, you have to get your books to a certain point in the store, and then Amazon can take over with the organic sales based on the Amazon bestseller rank. So you have to shift away from relying on Amazon to do a lot of the selling for you to you taking 100% responsibility for every sale. That's probably the biggest shift we've found. And it's a pretty daunting prospect to step away from KU, particularly Laurie. She just has the one series. Okay, there's book one in a new series, but that's not really doing much at the minute because it's not a complete series. But it's just all her books were in one series and they're all in KU, and we pulled all of them out at once. And about 50% of Laurie's royalties were from KU. So it was a big drop, and we had to make that work on a direct sales basis as well to get it to almost replace that income.
And why did you do it? People are like, why did you do it then?
Why do we do it? To have more control, have more ownership really of the people that are purchasing the books, to have a more direct channel of communication to every reader, to be able to nurture the relationship with every reader a lot more than we can with the likes of Amazon. And then also we can earn a lot more as well with the store in terms of the royalties we get, because we don't have the Amazon's cut to pay. So we can earn a lot more for every sale that we generate through the store. They were the sort of the biggest reasons, really.
Just on the yeah. money. Okay, so you mentioned yeah. the amount that you spend on Facebook ads. The other thing is cash flow, right? Because yeah. if you send traffic to Amazon, you're not getting paid for that for 60 days. Whereas yeah. with selling direct, you can get paid the same day or within 24 to 48 hours.
Yes, that is the other big thing, actually. Yeah, that we've set it to every week now, so you can choose your cadence of how often you're paid. But yeah, we set it every week. But yeah, in terms of cash flow and supporting the ads, yes, you've got that. You haven't got to wait. If you have a big month, you haven't got to wait 2 months to get that income into your bank account to pay for the ads that if you want to start scaling up. So you can make decisions much more quickly because you have the cash flow to support it.
And also, when you're talk about the difference between spending money on ads to your to the store and getting mm-hmm. customer data versus sending traffic to Amazon in terms of that email marketing, like how much you can sell in different ways, because it's not all ads, is it?
No, very much not. No, the email is a big thing because you can send traffic to your store and, okay, people may not buy straight away there and then, but they may sign up to your email list through whatever you're offering, whether it's a sample chapter or sample chapters, a free book, or maybe it's a discount code. And they may sign up for that and not make a decision to buy straight away, but you can have a flow of emails, a sequence of emails that are automatically sent to these people over a certain time frame. And they can bring them back to your store to make a decision further down the line. So that's the big thing. And okay, the ads, yes, okay, books are fairly, they're a fairly impulse buy, I guess, because they're relatively cheap compared to other products online. But you also got to think about people have got to be spending, with Laurie's books, it's sort of 10, 12, 14 hours to read them. So that's a big time investment there. So it's not just, oh, it's a £3 or $3 thing to buy. It's the time element as well, because that's obviously our biggest, most valuable asset, really, is time. We can always make more money, we can't make more time. But so we have to position the value of buying this book in the first place that it's going to be worth their time, not just their money. And we can do that over email, something we can't do. If we send people to Amazon and they decide not to buy, okay, Amazon may email them a day or so later, reminding them of the book, and that can generate some good sales for you without a doubt. But you don't have control over that. You can't build that personal connection with every reader like you can when you're selling direct.
And another big difference is I and many of us have spent many years building our email list through freebies. Here's a free book in exchange for signing up for the email. But with selling direct, you're actually getting emails from buyers, which is like a complete yeah. shift in mindset to me. So I guess this, and it changes things because these are people who have already paid for a book. But the other thing that's different is with the way you're now doing things and can do is conversion ads versus the pay-per-click ads. Can you explain the difference there and why selling direct enables us to use this in a different way?
Yeah, sure. So this is a big topic, but I'll try and condense it down. So when we're sending traffic from Facebook or Meta ads to Amazon, we have to use something called the traffic objective, which is just where Facebook is optimizing for to get the most number of clicks on your ads for the lowest possible cost. So once someone clicks on an ad and leaves Facebook and goes to Amazon, Facebook or Meta, they have no idea what's happening after the click. So you can get a lot of clicks over to Amazon. And okay, we can track the conversions to an extent with Amazon attribution. But when we're sending people from our Meta ads to our store, our direct sales store, we use something called the sales objective. And what that allows us to do, once we have installed the Facebook pixel and the conversion API on our store, which is a piece of code you put on your store to allow your store to speak to Meta, to Facebook, Meta can then optimize your ads to show them to people who have an intent to make a purchase. And this is really powerful because it's not just optimizing the clicks anymore to get the cheapest possible clicks. It's trying to get you purchases of your products, in our case, our books. So it can find people that have a good history and show behavioral signs of actually making purchases online and making purchases that are similar to what you are selling. So that's probably the biggest difference. Okay, these ads are slightly bit more expensive, but they're not massively. You know, I'm seeing when we're sending traffic from our ads to Amazon, they're probably 15 pence, 10, 15 pence a click, whereas to our store, they're perhaps 35 to 40 pence, something like that. So, okay, it's a little bit more expensive. But in terms of the conversions we get, it's converting much better with our store than it was on Amazon with the data we got through Amazon attribution to track the sales and the page views that were coming from the ads. So it's when you use the sales objective, it allows Facebook to just optimize for a more valuable interaction with whatever you're selling. We found it to be a much better a way to actually generate sales on a store is to use the sales objective rather than the traffic objective. I have tested the traffic objective to direct sales and it generated zero sales because there was just no intent behind the people clicking on the ad. All they have shown in a history of is clicking on ads.
Mm.
So we want people to find people that have a history of making purchases rather than just clicking on ads. So
yeah,
it's a much better objective really to use when you're selling direct.
Yeah. And obviously this is an audio podcast, so we're not showing you all this, but that you have a very useful newsletter and you have very reasonably priced courses. So people can go find out more about that. We're not going to get too much into technical detail. But
no.
One of the things that I really like about the way you do things too, is, you know, everyone listening knows I'm AI positive. And every week right now, the AI systems are getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
And some people will find that scary, for sure. Scary on the one hand, but on the other hand, in terms of helping us with marketing, it is one of the things we should all be leaning on because most authors want to write, they don't want to market. So tell people how you're using, I guess, Meta's AI targeting instead of what we've been talking about for years as authors, which is doing all this manual targeting. So I guess auto-targeting versus manual targeting.
Yeah. So I used to do the detailed targeting quite intensely. And at the end of 2022, our Facebook ads completely crashed and burned. And okay, I panicked for a bit and I did a lot of testing. And what I ended up doing was doing zero targeting. So something called broad targeting or unrestricted targeting. And this is where, so typically what you would do historically, you would say, I want to show my ads to people who have an interest in crime books, for example, or Stephen King. And also I want to make sure I only show it to people who have an interest in Kindle, Amazon Kindle, something like that, which would really narrow down the audience. And okay, it worked for a bit and then it would just burn. It would just sort of die off.
Because there weren't any people left in that bucket, for example.
No, that's right. Exactly. And what I learned through this, going through this process of our ads not working, trying to get them working again, was that the detailed targeting doesn't do the targeting of your ads. It's the ad creative itself that creates the audience that does the targeting for you. So that was a big sort of shift for me in that, okay, I need to get out of Facebook's way here and just create ads that resonate with our ideal readers and let Facebook find those readers for me. So now I don't do any detailed targeting at all. All I do is age, gender, and location, and even then I keep it pretty broad. So I'll say United States, male and female, 18 to 65, or 35 to 65 plus, something like that. And that's all I do for the targeting. And then on the ad side of things, the ad creative, I'm just creating ads that speak to our ideal reader, they resonate with our ideal reader, they position the books to our ideal readers, and then I just let Facebook get on with it and find the people that we want to show these ads to. So it's been a lot easier. It's a lot simpler to manage because I had spreadsheets testing lots of different audiences and how they performed, and it was pretty complex. So now I just get out of Facebook's way or Meta's way and just let the algorithm, the machine learning, the AI do all of that for me. So it's a much simpler way to run ads now.
Yes. So everyone listening who is still listening, who hasn't been like, oh no, ads. No, this is very, very exciting. And in fact, I heard an interview with Mark Zuckerberg, who basically said, look, we want to be able to do all this for you. And of course, image generation is becoming better and better in terms of AI generation. So let's talk about that, because when we started talking like 6 months ago, I kind of showed you how to use some of these AI tools for images. And I know you've been playing for that. So talk about how you are, because you mentioned there ads that speak to an ideal reader and the ad creative is so important. But how do people do that, and how might they use some tools to help them?
Yeah, so you, Joe, introduced me to a tool called Midjourney, which has been, well, it's been a game changer for me. I use it every week.
And so much fun, right?
It is, isn't it? Oh, I could spend hours. Yeah, dangerously, a lot of hours. And Midjourney is, the other tool you introduced me to actually is called Claude. And this is similar to ChatGPT, but I find it a lot better, a lot more creative output I get from Claude than ChatGPT. And I use those tools in conjunction with each other, which is something you taught me as well, which was using Claude to create prompts that we can use in Midjourney to create the images. So Claude is like a text-based AI tool, and Midjourney is more of an image-based AI tool that uses text to create the images. So you put in what you want to create in terms of an image, what you want the image to look like, what you want in the image, and it will create some images for you that you can then go ahead and tweak and refine to what you want it to be. Is that a good way? You're much better at the AI stuff than me, Joe. So is that a good explanation? How would you describe it?
Yeah, I mean, technically, that's a way of doing it. You can either go to claude.ai or use poe.com, P-O-E.com, if your country doesn't have direct access to Claude. I also think ChatGPT with DALL-E has got a lot better. But just coming back to it, so fair enough, we can create images with Midjourney, but how do you know ads that will speak to the ideal reader? Like, you have a testing process, don't you? You might create 10 images, but you're not just throwing them all and leaving them all running.
No, I'm quite methodical about what I'm testing. And once I figure out something that works, then I'll try and refine that and create variations of that to try and improve it. But in terms of images that speak to your ideal readers, it's more about what I found initially worked well was just the sort of background image of a book cover can work well. But once I've started using these AI tools, I've taken scenes out of the book and popped that into Claude, the AI tool, and asked Claude to create prompts I can use in Midjourney to create images around that particular scene. And these are scenes that are going to be quite prominent in the book. So if you write a fantasy book, it could be something like dragons or some sort of magical thing going on. If you write action-type books, then you can have people jumping off cliffs or running across rooftops and that sort of thing. Just think little things like that that just speak to the genre that you write in. And that's the sort of way I've been doing it, really. And then on top of that, what I do is also find works really well, and it's always worked really well from the beginning, even now, is just using little review quotes, little snippets from readers who have left a review on your books on Amazon or on your store or another retailer that just speak to your ideal reader. So perhaps in the review they mention a trope, or they mention best fantasy series I've ever read, or best historical fantasy series I've ever read, or best crime book, or I fell in love with the characters in this fantasy book, or something that mentions the genre that you write in. That sort of really helps to, it helps with the AI side of things to find the right audience in terms of Meta's AI, but also it helps once AI Meta's actually created that audience and found that audience, it's going to speak to particular segments of that audience it's found as well. So that's the way I've been using it, really.
And then, as you said, you test things in a particular way. And I think your testing methodology is easier to understand than some people's, but it's your methodology. So people can find that on your website. We will talk about this in a minute in terms of the course.
Yeah, sure.
But I did want to ask you, okay, so just to be clear for everyone, you have been doing my ads for jfpenbooks.com for, I guess, almost 6 months.
Probably is about
6 months. Yeah, 6 months at this point. And I wanted you to do my ads for reasons of selling books. And what I love is that every single day, I'm selling more fiction now than I have sold in a really long time. And that is very exciting for me. But in terms of what we are selling most of, it's the ebook box set of my first three books in the Arcane series. So that's Stone of Fire, Crypt of Bone, Ark of Blood, three full length thrillers. And there's a special deal for the bundle. And this is another thing with direct sales. You can do these bundles. But we have upsells. So people, quite a lot of people end up buying the 12-book ebook bundle. And quite a lot of people also will buy the print books and the even 12 print books, which I'm like, seriously, from one advert on Facebook, someone is buying 12 print books.
12 books.
Which is, it's something I think that people don't realise if they've been advertising into KU. The KU audience is not the same audience as the people buy 12 print books, right? So I guess from the data that you have gleaned from my website, what are some of the things that you've learned?
Yes, so we've tested quite a bit with your books and we've tested various different individual books. We've tested different box sets. We've tested paperbacks, and I think the biggest thing really is when you've got such a big collection of books like you have, Joe, it can be very tempting to advertise everything. But what we really learned through this process was, okay, none of these other books, I'm not saying they're bad books at all, nothing like that at all, but what I'm saying is that the ads are really working for one particular box set, one particular series, and that's where we need to focus the budget. It doesn't mean the other books aren't going to sell or nobody wants to read them. But if we can get people into your ecosystem through one series, then we can use the email marketing to introduce them to other series in your catalogue that they'll enjoy. So we tested, various different books and ebooks and bundles and paperbacks. And we landed on this, and the box set that just kept performing again and again and again was this three-book bundle, the Arcane bundle, and the first three books in that series, which, it had a good deal on it. And it had the upsell, which obviously works. And rather than just forcing money into advertising books that weren't selling through the Facebook ads, we just doubled down on that hero product, so to speak, that box set, that bundle. Because that's clearly what was working, and there's no point spreading the budget across other books that weren't really working well when we could just put more budget into this box set that is working. Because then, as I say, once they're into your system, into your ecosystem, into your world, then they can start getting introduced to the other books in your catalogue through the email. And once you've got that first customer in and they're on your email list, you don't have to pay to acquire them again. You don't have to pay through the ads to acquire them again for a second time because they're already in your system. You can just use the email to introduce them to these other books. So it's obviously easier to sell another book or another box set or another bundle to someone who's already experienced your work in the first place. They're not coming to you cold through these other books in your catalogue. So it's a much warmer sort of introduction to these other books that you have for sale. And they've obviously got a good sense of what your work is like. They enjoy your work and they want to read more of your work. And the email marketing will help do that in a very effective way.
My email list is growing so much faster than it did do for a long time.
Yeah.
And that is really interesting. The other thing is, I kind of think of the Meta algorithm now, a little engine that's learning who reads those books for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, when you start doing this with anything, whether you're sending traffic to Amazon or anything, you have to allow a period of time for it to adjust, right? It's going to put your ad up in front of a load of people and a lot of them won't click at all. Some might click and not convert. And then this is learning. But it feels like the snowball does get bigger and bigger, even though we've kept the spend pretty similar. We haven't changed the spend. But I feel like some mornings I wake up and there's just all these sales. It's like, what just happened? Okay, so let's just talk about the downside, because because we use the AI images. Well, I don't know if you've seen this, because I look at the comments, but people have been saying, oh, you've got AI images. Does that mean your book's AI? Do you get that with Laurie's?
We haven't yet, actually. No, that's interesting to hear that. No, we've never had anything like that on Laurie's ads.
Yeah, I've started to get a few of those. Right. But it is interesting. Okay. And some of them I delete because they're just offensive. But some of them say, I'll comment back and say, I wrote this a decade ago. These are the first books in a 13 book series. So no, they're not by AI. And some of them I'll just joke and say, yeah, I want Gal Gadot to play Morgan Sierra or whatever. So that's interesting. I think the print sales are interesting because I feel like with Amazon, getting print fiction sales is actually a lot harder than it seems to be.
Selling direct? Yeah, we're selling a lot more direct with Laurie Store than we ever did on Amazon. And then we're also selling more bundles, which is $70 for 5 books on the store. We're selling more of those than individual books on Amazon.
Yes, exactly. And just so people know, the cost of... You're using Book Vault as well, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah.
Yeah, so we get a lot more profit selling books.
Yeah.
When we do, look at you sighing. Yes. I mean, it's crazy. I think the other thing is indies are so used to the very little money you make on print on Amazon compared to the amount you can make on print when you're using Book Vault through Shopify or one of their other integrations. So suddenly print becomes a much more important part of the business, right?
It does very much. And also it's going to depend a bit on your audience as well and who you write for, because a lot of Laurie's audience, for example, are 60 plus really. And they... Not all of them, but a lot of them like to have physical books in their hand. Whereas there'll be some genres that attract a much younger audience and they will devour books on their Kindle or their e-reader of choice much more than buying a print book. They want instant access to it. They want to read 5 or 10 books a week, which they can't do when you're waiting for print books to be printed and delivered.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a totally different audience. And they're also presumably not so price sensitive because, as you say, people are dropping like $90 on 12 books from an author they've never heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, how did that happen? Which is, well, I say that and then I'll spend that much on some cat toy that I see on Instagram. But then that's, like you say, it becomes an impulse purchase. And I feel like sometimes we forget that people who love books will just buy books on impulse. You know, we go to a bookstore and do that, right? So, I think that's different. I guess one of the other things, as we think about the way AI is developing, is what else do you think is going to get better and get easier for us? What else will we be able to outsource, or what else are you looking at or investigating?
The other thing we're using AI for at the moment is writing the actual copy of the ads themselves. So I'm not using the copy straight from AI as it is. I am using it. I am editing it and tweaking it quite a bit. But for example, like the headlines in the ads and the primary text in the ads, that's something we're using AI to help us create some different options for our ad copy. And I'm also using it to attract different desires and different segments of readers, and using something like Claude to do that for me, to write copy for a particular market awareness or a particular market sophistication. And that's something I'm doing a lot with at the moment. And also inside of Meta, when you're creating your ads, you can see if you put in some primary text, they will have some AI generated primary text that you could use as well. So they call, I can't remember what they call them now. I haven't used them yet, but they look pretty good. When you put in a piece of primary text, and it will give you some other options that its AI engine has written for you based on that piece of primary text that you can then use, or you can tweak and then add into your ad as well. And then also video is becoming pretty big now. So it was recently, you'll know more about this than me, Joe, but was it
Sora?
Sora, wasn't it? Yeah, Sora.
S-O-R-A.
S-O-R-A, that's it. So that's like a text-to-video tool, I believe. I haven't looked into it yet. But that's something that I think will be very powerful. Looking at all the examples I've seen on X about it, and lots of different, lots of amazing possibilities you can do with that. So I think there really is no limit apart from your imagination with these AI tools of what is actually possible. And I think it's just going to get better and better. But at the moment, that's what we're really using it for.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's why I wanted you to come on, is to really encourage people. If you're like me, you kind of just didn't want to get involved at all with ads. There's just more and more opportunities for AI to do some of this marketing. Mm-hmm. So this isn't about Facebook, but in 2023, I was paying someone to manage my Amazon ads. And then I now just have them. I only do them for nonfiction now, but I have them running just the auto ads. So there might come a point where that's what we're able to do on Meta as well. And you don't do this as a service, but what you do do is teach people how to do it themselves. So tell us about your new course, the Direct Sales Blueprint for Authors, and also a bit about your Facebook ad stuff. And yeah, just tell people a bit more about it so they might know if they're interested.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Jo. So the Facebook ads course, which is one that's been around for the longest now, that is really just sharing my strategy on Facebook ads. And we dive into from the basics really of setting up your Facebook ads account and then moving into creating ads that stop the scroll and ads that really just speak to your ideal readers. And there's going to be a new module coming in the next few months where I'm going to be diving into my research process of how I actually create ads and really understanding the reader and all my different strategies for identifying what readers are looking for in a book and particular types of book that you're advertising. So that's something that's, I'm really going through that now. And because I have a Facebook ads coach I work with that really helps me understand all this in a lot more detail and really understand the market awareness, market sophistication. So that's been really beneficial and it's really helping me craft better ads really. So then it walks through the actual setting up of the ads themselves in the Facebook ads dashboard and creating the campaigns and the ad sets and the ads, and then also what to look for when you're deciding, is this a good ad, is this a bad ad, and making much more informed and confident decisions in which ad you keep running, which ones you turn off, which ones you make iterations of, which ones you make variations of, and then also how to scale up your ads when you're in a position to do so, and what metrics to look for to know when it's time to scale up, and how to track everything so you have all the numbers that you need to make those decisions. And in that course, we cover, because there's quite a few authors that are obviously still selling on Amazon and using their ads to drive traffic to sell their books on Amazon, but there's also quite a few authors now that are selling direct and want to know more about how to use Facebook ads or Meta ads to sell direct on their own stores. So we cover a bit of that in there as well, in terms of the strategy and how it differs very slightly for selling direct versus selling to a retailer. So that's the Facebook ads course. And I should probably rename that to Meta ads, really, shouldn't I? And then as part of that course as well, there's also a Facebook group. So there's lots and lots of people in there that will help you answer questions. They give feedback on your ads. And I've been there as well, answering questions and giving feedback and just helping people out to really support them in their own journey with ads, their Facebook ads. Because, yes, the course lays out everything for you, but you can come across issues that are a little bit more specific to you. You might want support on that. I don't want to leave you on your own, stranded on top of a hill with no way to get any help or any assistance. So that's why the Facebook group is there, is to help you with all of that. And then if you want to get some feedback on your ads or on your blurb or on your headlines, your images, etc., that can all be done through the Facebook group. And then leading on from that is there's the Direct Sales Blueprint for Authors course, which when this goes out, it will be live and available to sign up for. And in that course, yes, we have a module in there on Facebook ads for direct sales specifically, but that's just one module. The bulk of the course really, or the rest of the course, is all about getting your store set up. So the minimum viable store that you need to really get going with direct sales. We walk through how to set up a Shopify account, how to set up your email marketing, how to create product pages, how to create a theme, how to optimize your sales pages, how to create offers, and how to build your email list, and how to scale up your store. So there's lots and lots of detail in there about really running a store, a direct sales store for your books. And it is specifically about books and how to get ebooks into your store, the different options there, how to integrate a company like Book Vault to print your books, your print books on demand, and get them shipped off to your customers, all without you having to do anything. It all happens in the background automatically. So I'll show you how to integrate all of that. So it's really the blueprint really for just getting everything set up for your direct sales store and just creating another, it can be another income stream for you, or it could be your main income stream. It could just be a supplementary income stream for you if you want it to be, or it could be your main thing. So there's no right or wrong way to do it here, but direct sales is a really powerful platform, and we're really enjoying it ourselves, and it's made a big difference to Laurie's business and also to to enable her relationship she has with her readers as well. It's been a big, big change that we've never had before, never experienced before with Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so much that, I mean, everyone knows I've done some shows, quite a lot of shows now, I guess, on selling direct. And I really appreciate your approach and also that you are taking advantage of the AI tools. And authors who don't want to use AI for writing, no worries, but you can use it for marketing. So, I love that you take advantage of that.
Oh, very much.
So,
every week.
Yeah, and you also have an email newsletter, which gives people quite a lot of tips and things. So tell people where they can find that and the courses and everything you and Laurie do online.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, so I have as Joe says, a free, it's a daily-ish newsletter. So it goes out 3 or 4 days a week. And in that, I just share tips on, sometimes it's Facebook ads, sometimes it's direct sales, sometimes it's more about the mindset about running an author business. And it's just really everything I've learned in the past and everything I'm learning right now about running an author business, and particularly Laurie's author business. And when you sign up for that, you also get access to the Facebook Ads for Authors Masterclass, which is, it's a 7 or 8 lesson video course, completely free, that just walk you through my strategy for Facebook ads. And it will show you how to get everything set up and show you some winning Facebook ad examples. And it would just really help you get you started on getting going with your Facebook ads. If you've either you've come into them fresh or your Facebook ads like us just crashed and burned and you don't know where to turn, then this course will just lay out everything that I've learned the hard way and get you going again with your Facebook ads. And I've had plenty of authors come through that course who have, they haven't even bought my paid course, but they've seen a massive transformation in their Facebook ads performance just through what I'm sharing in that free course. So it's so that's completely free when you sign up for the newsletter. And then Laurie's books are at lauriehomesbooks.com. That's where you can see her store. They're also on Amazon and they're on the other retailers such as Kobo and Barnes & Noble. But primarily, we really focus on the direct sales store.
I don't think you gave the URL for your newsletter.
Did I not? I didn't. You're right. It's thank you, Joe. It's matthewjholmes.com is where you go for the newsletter and for my free Facebook ads course.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for your time, Matt. That was great.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So I hope you found the discussion with Matt interesting and that it gives you some more hope around reaching readers, especially if you're considering selling direct and you write cross-genre as I do. If you're a patron, there's a behind-the-scenes video demo with Matt that will go live after this interview airs at patreon.com/thecreativepen. For more interviews and resources on selling direct, you can find them at thecreativepen.com/sell-direct-resources. Let me know what you think of today's show. Leave a comment on the show notes at thecreativepen.com or on the YouTube channel. Email me, joanna@thecreativepen.com, or message me on X @thecreativepen. So next week, I have a solo show about ways to think about book marketing. So that's coming up next week. And in the meantime, happy writing, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes and show notes available at thecreativepen.com/podcast. You can also get your free author blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at @thecreativepen or find me on Facebook @thecreativepen. See you next time.